Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your TV. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. Also, TV programs can be examined there, and a host of other Bible-related material. We encourage you to go out, take a look at it, let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. It is our desire to show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and worship God with us. For the past few months, we've been looking at the subject of sin. Last week, we began looking at the doctrine of sin, and it's particularly sin in the home. Now we want to move to present-day considerations. Parents need to have an active role in raising their children. The home is designed by God. It's a divine institution. It was sanctioned by God in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24. It's monogamous in form. Adam was given one woman, not a plurality of women. Read Genesis 2:22 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, when it talks about us having our own wife or an own husband. It was patriarchal in government. God gave this chain of authority. It was God over men, Christ over man, and man over woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3. That is the role that God gave men and women. God gave this chain of authority, not men. I didn't create it. No other man created it. This was a creation as God saw best to be used in his divine wisdom. Read also 1 Timothy 2:13, and also remember we studied in length Ephesians 5:22 through 24 in talking about the roles of husbands and wives. It's religious in spirit. Husbands are to love their wife like Christ loved his bride, the church. Husbands and fathers are to be spiritual leaders in their home, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, and also 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. We're told in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. We need to have religious leadership in our home, indissolvable in nature. It's not to be entered into without understanding. It is a lifetime commitment. You just can't get in and out of it. It's not something to try for a while. Whatever God's joined together, man is not to put asunder, Matthew 19:6. It is a death-do-us-part relationship. Read Romans 7, verse 2. And so these principles need to be considered in any home and a marriage that one is planning or hoping to get to start or to get involved in. There are three major tasks in this home. Help one another get to heaven. That should be our major task. We want to help both husband and wife get to heaven. Bring up children in the Lord. Give them back to the Lord like Hannah gave back her son to the Lord in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 11. We're to train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 4. Fathers to be like Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 15. He chose for him and his house to serve the Lord. That's what fathers and mothers need to do. Give attention to prepare our children for their choice in choosing their mate. Some questions need to be asked. Will my mate live by the standard of morality that God has established or by the morality or the lack of morality of the world? Will this person help or hinder my desire to go to heaven? Will this person help raise our children to go to heaven? And is this person worth the risk of my soul being eternally lost in hell if they lead me in the wrong direction or fight against me in trying to establish a godly home? Those are questions that each prospective mate needs to ask their mate. Those are things that we must consider before we enter into a marriage in order that we not make a mistake that only makes for an unhappy home, an unhealthy home environment, and can lead our children to destruction and destroy our souls in destruction, but also be a horrendous example to the world of what a godly family is supposed to be. Now, bringing these two lessons in conclusion, As parents, our roles are very important. Remember that our children did not ask to be born. We brought them into the world. Much of what we do or fail to do will play a large role in whether this child will be lost or saved in eternity. When God blessed us with their life, He gave us the awesome duty of molding that child to give him back to God. This is our duty. This is not optional. Not to the world, but back to God. To the church. This is our duty. It's not the world's duty. It's not the church's duty. It's not the school's duty. Their peers or their friends. It is their godly parents' duty to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, is there any hope for our society and our world? Sadly, many times people will get to rock bottom before they realize that they must take another direction. In much discussion centered around the family and the home in the last election, but many people failed to really give it much thought. Some who once were passing our birth control pills and condoms are now teaching abstinence. While many religions are debating the issue of sexual morality, others are leaning towards sexual purity. Promise keepers, though I disagree with their approach to biblical unity and fellowship, are striking a blow for positive family values by taking a stand for sexual purity and making men take the role, the God-given role, of leadership in the home that God gave them. In June 1994, 62,000, and over 70,000 years later in Denver, pledged himself to spiritual purity. Are we the only word people in the world that understand that the home is in grave danger? No, others are also taking notice. But these gimmicks and these men-made concepts will not get the job done. We need to get back to biblical principles. Families to need to function together as heirs of God's grace. That's what the scripture teaches. Study, meditate, and pray together. Spend time together. We need to show the God's plan in our home and live the example before our children daily so that they will have a godly home of their own. Living by God's standards will work. Let us begin in our homes, and maybe it will catch on to others. We can only change it one person at a time. We can only change the world by one person at a time by making our principles based upon godly principles. We're going to have our homes designed by God's standard, by God's grand design, by God's grand instruction, and not man's. When we will let God do the framing, when we'll follow God's instruction, then we will be the kind of people and have the homes that will be free from sin. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean we're never going to make a mistake. But we're going to get the framework right. We're going to get the foundation right. And we're going to do our dead level best to build godly homes in order to give our children the example of a godly home so that they will see the value and the benefit of making a godly home themselves when that time comes in their life. Dear listener, what kind of home do you have? Is your home based on godly principles? Are they based on godly instructions? And are you setting a godly example for your children? Do they see God as the centerpiece of your home? Do they see a home that is built on biblical principles? Or are you falling trapped to the world and trying to build a home according to the pattern of the world and by the pattern of society and watching your home fall into decay? You can rectify this situation. Get back to the biblical principles. If you don't know what they are, feel free to call us. Feel free to let us help you, show you in the Bible how you can better frame and better enact your home to be more godly and to be more spiritual minded, not only to save your own family, but to be an example and a help to others and by helping the community and society that we live in. Now, this is the end of the subject of the doctrine of sin in the home. And so next week, Lord willing, we're going to continue the subject of sin, and we're going to look at the safeguard against sin. What can protect us from sin? We've talked for many months, we've talked about sin in many different ways, and we've talked about sin in all of its ugliness and how it must be avoided, and we've looked at the roots of sin and how sin disguises itself. But next week, we want to begin to look at the safeguard. What did God give us in order to deal with sin, in order to protect ourselves from having influence in our lives? And Lord willing, on the first Sunday of 2018, we will begin to look at that subject, the doctrine of sin, the word, God's safeguard against sin. But I want to take this time, this being the last Sunday in 2017, I want to take this opportunity to thank our listening audience for your listening to us this past year and for the many years that I've been on this radio station. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I appreciate your willingness to listen, to open up the pages of your word, to consider the things that are taught here, and to give time and attention to the things that we say in hope that it has provoked you to a deeper study and appreciation for God's word and to look more closely at your own life and your own faith to make sure that you're doing and being what God would have you to be and following God's pattern in your own life. I hope that you notice, ladies and gentlemen, in these radio broadcasts that I spend a lot of time in the Bible. We read a lot of Bible. I always make reference to the Bible verses where my conclusions are drawn, and I try emphatically to give you a book, chapter, and verse for everything that we teach and we suggest on this radio program in order to enrich your life, to know the need for God in your life, and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. But you can never do either one of those things if you do not have a good understanding and a daily contact with the Word of God. One of the things that I did when I began this radio program, when I first moved to Kentucky, I went out and listened to other radio broadcasts, and I did this also when I started to broadcast on the television. And what I saw was a great absence of biblical teaching. I found a great absence of reference to the Bible. I heard a lot of generalities. I heard a lot of good theories based upon a passage here, a passage there. But what I did not hear was a daily diet and a continuing reference to God's will for the things that were being stated. In our programs, we are trying to give you God's answers, not our theories, not our philosophies, not what we believe is the best course, not what our understanding is, but to give you God's understanding, to let you look at God's principles, God's guidelines, God's standard, and God's ways of dealing with issues and problems that arise in our homes and in our individual life. That is the only way that you can clear up any problem. Ladies and gentlemen, if men and women would give as much time and attention to the Bible as they do to other books of literature or to other hobbies they have in their life, and they would enrich their life by studying the Bible and reading the Bible, it would help give them better information to make better decisions and choices in their life. As we begin a new year, let me encourage you to begin a daily Bible reading program. You can go out on the website, you go out on our website, and you can find a daily Bible planner that will show you how you can read the Bible through in a year, every day, to get your mind started or ending in reading God's Word. It will enrich your life, it will give you invaluable information, and it will help you make better decisions and choices. We want to take this time of wishing you a happy new year and hope that God is going to be a centerpiece of this new year, and we want you to come and visit us at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Have a happy new year.